trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and go out. The Lord God will fight against your enemies, whoever rise up against you. And the Lord God will grant you prosperity in the year coming. After hearing all these promises, our hearts will be filled with happiness and satisfaction. Words like these will soothe our mind. It is like a strong painkiller. It numbs the original pain and it aids to forget about the reality for a while. Unless you find the source of the disease and treat that place exactly, then the disease will not be cured. You might argue, these blessings are from the word of God. This is from the Bible. Yes, indeed it is true. It is from Deuteronomy. But what happened to the verses before and after this set of blessings? Actually, these blessings begin with the verse saying, if you obey fully the Lord your God, and if you follow his commands regularly, then you will be blessed. Then you will receive all these blessings. And these blessings continue with the verse after saying that if you do not fully obey the Lord your God, and if you do not follow his commands regularly, then you will receive all these sets of cursings. But carefully, we crop the first, all those if condition statements, and selecting the verses for our own convenience and ignoring the original context from where those blessings or promises have been extracted from the Bible. We need to see to whom these blessings have been addressed and under what circumstances God has addressed those blessings, and who were hearing that, and are we reading with the full context? Are we obeying God? Then if you obey fully God, then we will receive the blessings. But we get all WhatsApp messages, especially in this new year period. Blessings. The Lord God will fight for you. Yes, but when? We need to obey the Lord our God. That is very important. And these kind of separating from the context and concentrating only on the verses we wish, it will deceive people. That is the main thing. But having said that, there is a good news. We have a good news. We are all a privileged people. And in some way, we are all blessed people. And we are even compared with the legends of faith, whose names were already enrolled in the hall of faith. Hebrews 11 is a chapter completely designated to the people of the Old Testament who were the conquerors of their faith in action. The good news is, we are also selectively chosen, and we have been set apart, and we were included in that list. Have you seen your name in Hebrews chapter 11? All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God has promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that we would not, they would not reach perfection without us. Us or us. We are included in Hebrews chapter 11. And they, it means like people like Enoch, who was constantly walking with God. And Noah, who was called as a man of righteousness by God himself. And David, who was a man who was so close to God's own heart. Moses was a big prophet, and he led the whole Israelites out of Egypt. And with all this, comparing to all these great men of faith, God has mentioned that he has something better for us in his mind. So it is not only assuring us that we will reach that eternity of perfection, or we will reach the perfecter, Jesus Christ himself, but it is mentioning that they would not reach the perfection without us. So we are all part of that. It is all because of Jesus Christ. It is all because of us, the new covenant believers who have been called by Christ himself after his death and resurrection. Jesus has mended that, and he has uplifted our position from ordinary people to be compared or even preference with this extraordinary men of faith. Is it not a good news? We are in the Bible. Where we are compared with the great men of faith. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, he says that, I have better plans for my children. Is it not an important mark or significant mark for our race to continue? Having received all those marks, we need to get set and ready. This continues in the chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Our Christian life is a race. In order to participate the race, we need to have certain qualifications and certain preparations. How would an athlete comes in a costume of an astronaut? Will he be comfortable to run the race? His own costume will drag him down, and that will not allow him to continue or pursue further or to participate even in the race. So in our spiritual race, we need to get rid of certain things, certain sins, at least the sins of the known sins, and the sins that are conscience to our mind. And we need to ask God with repentant hearts, Lord, please forgive me for the sins I have been doing, and the deliberate sins. And in faith, if we lay them aside, then we are get ready and set to participate. Before we begin the race, we need to do this. It is not that while we are running the race, we can strip off. It is very difficult. We need to strip off at least the known sins before we get engaged into the race. And some may ask, what are those deliberate sins? What are those list of sins? You young people have something in mind? Sins, what do you call sins? What are all the things you call as sins? Want to shout out loud? Anything that is disobeying him. Yeah. Any sins? You don't know about sins at all, isn't it? We are holy people. Do you know, Irene, any sins that comes to your mind immediately? Disobeying parents. Yes. Anything else? Shouting out loud, Jennifer? You don't do sin at all. Yeah, some would ask, can you show us the list of sins? It is already told in the Exodus, the Ten Commandments, the sins. But in the New Testament, the standard is getting above and bigger and brighter. And this is a list of sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 to 10. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes during those days. So you need to interpret to the present contemporary lifestyle, female prostitutes as well, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, drunkards, abusive, or cheat people. None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. So the list is given clearly. When I was sharing this with one of smaller groups, and a young man, he rose up and he asked, what about smoking? It is not mentioned in the list. Can I do or not? I was thinking for a while and I said, why did you ask this question? Because you have a doubt in that, whether to continue or not. If something you have a doubt, whether to continue or not, better leave that. Don't do that. That is the only thing we can do. If there is a doubt coming, it is the conscience in our mind saying something is wrong. Why should we then pursue that? And that's why Paul was writing to Romans, everything that comes not from faith is a sin. So we all know what are all the deliberate sins and what are all the hindrances that would affect us to run further in our race. So let us lay them aside. We cannot do by our own effort. We need to ask God the Spirit to help us to be the overcomers of that. And also, it is not asking the Holy Spirit alone to overcome and continue doing the sin. We need to put some effort from ourselves. If we are a good gossiper, I would say, like, on that morning, we need to get up and think about, Lord, I've been gossiping until last night. From today onwards, I don't want to gossip. Can you please help me? Whomsoever I'm going to meet today, I'm not going to talk about anyone who is not in that place. If at all I am going to talk about someone who is not in that place, that will be about good of them. So taking that in mind on the first thing in the morning and proceed further might help. And our Christian race has no competition. So we don't need to look into the next tract who is running beside us, how fast he is going, how beautifully he is running. No need. It is not the award for the one who is going to come first. It is the award for the one who is going to run and endure the patience throughout the race. And in our Christian race, the first and foremost thing to get rid of from ourselves is our past life. Some of us might be thinking, I have done so much terrible things. I have messed 2019. So whatever mess we have done in 2019, let us lay them aside. And let us start a fresh new start in 2020. Let us be like the newborn babies. Have you seen the newborn babies? Once it comes from the mother's womb, it cannot recollect its past, where it was hidden before in mother's stomach or what it was doing. It cannot recollect that. It just start a new start. Like that, we are all fresh, new 2020 starting now. Let us go with the new beginning in Christ. But having said that, we should not be a milk-fed babies forever. We need to be transformed from milk-feeding to meat-chewing people. Okay, now we got all the marks. We are included in the hall of faith. We are compared with the great men of faith. And the second one is, we are get set and ready. We have cleared out the known and the deliberate sins we do, and we are now ready. What do we need to do? We need to go. We need to run the race. We need to run the race with perseverance. It is very difficult. The world will throw at us some difficulties. The world will talk something against us. The problems will come. But in all those situations, we need to endure the trial, leaving aside and running with patience. And our eyes should be fixed on Jesus alone. So in that process, when our focus is fixed, we will not be distracted from any other worldly things that come and interrupt us. Have you heard about this man, Richard Baxter? He was an effective Puritan preacher in the 17th century. He lived in the UK, and his lifestyle, his whole adulthood was spent battling on one disease over the other. He had problems like constant coughing, frequent bleeding, migraine headache, digestive ailments, kidney stones, gallstones, and the list goes on. But he had a belief on a supernatural healing. So many of the times he has mentioned in his autobiography that I prayed to God and he has restored me from all those ailments, and I have sensed God's direct intervention. And he has said that above the age of 21, he seldom an hour without pain. And he also mentioned once there was a cancerous looking tumor in his throat was vanished when he was testifying in the pulpit about the mercies of God. So such a powerful person. But he went through difficulties and diseases one after the another all his adulthood. But he summarizes saying that two things, what he sensed through this, the life what he lived. One is how the temporary the human life is. And the second thing is how powerful God's mercy is. In our dark ages, let us get closer to God. And it is like a self-driven process. Automatically, our dark ages will shift us closer to God's presence. And the Spirit will allow us to sense His powerful presence around us. And that power will give us strength and give us the peace that surpasses all understanding. Look at our Savior, Jesus Christ, how He adequately dealt with the pain. He was betrayed, He was rejected, And he felt the pain of disappointment and abandonment. Do you know what he did during those period? His own people rejected him. He came to love them, but the same people did not love him back. He was abandoned. He was rejected. What did he do during that period? He just got out of himself and he chose to serve. It is very difficult. You need to get out of yourself, out of your humanness, and the spirit what God has given. You have to come out of that, and you need to help the people, those who were with that, those pains. When we are shifting our focus from our pain to come out and serve the Lord, then in fact, our pain will be filled with rejoice by knowing this truth. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are washing away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. If we fix our eyes on the spiritual, then we will be encouraged to know that our position needs to be improved or needs to be strengthened. We see only our physical diminishing, but when we keep our eyes on our spiritual strengthening, we see the troubles that come around us, which are very temporary, but when we fix our eyes on Jesus and the life after, which is going to be an eternal. So we need to focus our eyes, shifting from what was or sometimes what is to what will be. Yes, after conquering one pain, there may be another pain coming, but yet we can rejoice. Looking ahead, knowing that there is a light on the horizon, and when we are approaching that eternity, fixing our eyes on Jesus and leaving all those temporary ailments, not only alleviate our pain from the past and present, but also give us a confirmation, give us a hope, give us a reassurance that we are marching towards the eternity where there will be no more pain, no more suffering. We are the citizens of heaven, not the citizens of earth. Amen.